Adventures, Joni and Mike plan to delve into the unknown paranormal world in hopes of uncovering the unknown and the unheard. Welcome to EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Come as you are, as you were, as I want.
And hello, everybody. This is EVP Spirit Talk with Joni of Egypt Valley Paranormal and my co-host and team member, Mike.
Hello. How's everybody tonight?
I don't know. We're just kind of out of practice. We have done this for like, what, a month?
Yeah. A little hiatus.
Yeah.
Yep. That's
a little try to straighten things and get yourself together hiatus, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How are you though?
I had the Vegas hiatus.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, do you still have, like, jet lag or anything?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I, what you can call it. It was 6 days of walking on the streets with a 3-foot-long margarita.
I know. I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
Dave was funny. Dave had a good time.
Oh, we had a blast.
Dave had a good time. What about Kristen? Was she the only girl?
Yep, for 2 days, and she don't remember those 2 days because it's insane out there. If you get a chance to go, go. It's fun. You cannot not have fun there.
I don't know. It's not my thing, I guess.
You know, people watching, it was insane. And we did do a little bit of a haunted tour. We didn't do the full thing. We went to Old Vegas and did a little went to a voodoo master out there in Vegas, yeah. And we went to a Polynesian fair that had a bunch of psychic booths, and it was pretty cool too. So, and it was all free. So,
yeah, I hear Elvis goes there and Liberace and
yeah,
who else was there? They always talk about that guy that built the flamingo, that gangster guy.
Which one? There were so many people. What's his name? He was a gangster, yeah. I know you're talking about.
Yeah, they killed him. Killed him out there.
Yeah, he was the only Jewish gangster, I believe.
Yeah, he was Jewish. He had blue eyes. He was real good looking.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, he actually had borrowed money from the mob to build that and didn't pay it back. So that's how his life ended quickly. So, yeah, we learned about that. And they're actually tearing down a bunch of the older casinos now and building new ones. So.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. Had a good time, for sure. Saw Lily Tomlin, and she was freaking hysterical. A little bit crazy, but she's funny. So that was a spur-of-the-moment type. Got free tickets in the lobby of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was interesting. But, you know, it just the amount of people and the difference and the diversity of people out there was just crazy. It was insane. The other place I know at 9 o'clock in the morning, you walk down the street and there'd be people drinking beer. So, bigger than Jim.
Maybe 30 years ago or 20 years ago, maybe I'd be like, it's all right. I don't know anymore.
It's fun. It was fun. The plane ride was horrible on the way out because we ran into that big storm, the windstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of turbulence on the way out, and on the way back it was basically non-existent. But we were.
Did you guys go to the Hoover Dam?
Yes.
Oh wow.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Saw a scorpion, and I saw a rattlesnake. Yeah, little things like that. But the Hoover Dam was amazing. I guess 1,400 people died building that thing.
Yeah, it's haunted too. I've seen that on a show once on television.
We went down to, you know, we got to go inside the innards of the place, and you could just feel energy in there. It was crazy. And it wasn't not so much the electrical energy, but just you could just walk through and feel something. You just turn around and look and see if I'm staring at you or something. It was just really, really odd. And
mm-hmm.
You know, of course, the mountain was making noises as we're walking through. It was fun. It was a good time. Not that I would do it again anytime soon, but It was fun. Shockingly fun, actually.
Well, I'm glad you had a good trip and a safe trip, and yeah, there were some really good pictures of a kid out of that.
I haven't seen, nor I'm sure I don't want to.
Yeah, you might want to look at them.
Yeah,
oh, buddy.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, it was just the amount of people and just how, and you would think the amount of people out there, it would just be, you know, hustle and bustle, but people out there are so friendly. We met a lot of people. People are really friendly and willing to tell you where things were and give them free things. Anything that bothered me was the people standing there giving out hooker cards on the corner.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Business cards?
Every street corner there was like five or six people with orange live girl t-shirts on, and they were, had stacks of cards with naked girls on them, and they were like handing them out to everybody walking down the street. And they didn't care if you were a kid or woman, man. They had no problem giving them to you.
Yeah, because they got family resorts out there, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we stayed in Indian Grand, and there was a lot of families there. And it just amazed me, the amount of people pushing their babies through on baby carriage or baby strollers at like 2 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning, walking through the casino, playing slots. And it was interesting.
Well, I guess that's why they say what happens there should stay there, or does stay there, so.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Unless you got pictures.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's
well, anyway.
Go ahead. So, tonight we're doing, what do you say, the crystal one?
Yeah, we didn't decide to do this till really yesterday, see if we can get going here, and had a couple people. Couldn't do it. I did book one of them for the end of June. And he's a really nice guy. So we got to get back. I got to get back on it and just start trying to find some people and get some people on. But tonight, Crystal graciously agreed to come on and talk. And I think she's having, I think she's going to bring Lori with her.
Okay, cool.
No, Lori Leah from LPI, which yeah. I'm not familiar with that group. So she can tell us all about that.
Yeah.
So.
We'll get back.
I don't know.
Okay. So,
sure,
did
you?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't know if we bring Crystal on or go to a commercial.
Good, let's do a commercial. I think we're all together.
Yeah, we're totally disorganized at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if we can, maybe just take a little break and then bring Ms. Christel on. And we'll take it from there.
All right.
Sound good?
Yep.
All right.
Okie dokie.
We'll be right back.
Every Thursday night at 10 p.m., be sure to catch Paranormal Encounters Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, www.asprn.com. Your host, Leanna, would also like to invite you to join the Paranormal Encounters organization at www.paranormalencounters1.ning.com.
Are you hearing bumps in the night? We'll help you find the answers you desperately need. Get your paranormal radio fix for the week. Tune in to Para Investigators Radio with Kurt and Bill every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's each and every Monday night at 9 Eastern in Studio A. Only on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered if the urban legends in your town were true? Join Cincinnati Regional Association for Paranormal Studies, also known as CRABS, on their ventures in the search of the tri-state's urban legends. Every community has its urban legends and folklore. The Cincinnati area is no different. Those stories of tragic deaths and the hauntings that follow. Sighting of strange creatures, devil worshippers, abandoned crematoriums, ghosts and ghouls, and even Charlie Manson. Krebs has heard all the stories also, and now they are going to check them out for themselves. They are going all over southern Ohio, northern Kentucky, southeast Indiana, looking for the truth behind these stories. But the best part is, they're taking you with them. So join them for their paranormal road trip as they investigate the tri-state's urban legends. You can visit their website at www.o-craps.com. That's www.oh-craps.com.
Hello, this is Steve Shockley. Do you know what I like to do on Sunday nights? I like to connect to ASPRN Radio and listen to Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels. He's on every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Don't forget, Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels.
Hi, and we are back now. We have Christelle Brooks on the line from Paranormal Outreach Radio.
Hello.
Kentucky Paranormal Society. And yes, Crystal, did you recover from last night?
I did. It was so hectic. It was not even funny.
Oh, yeah. If you guys are listening on the pod, Chris Moon last night had on the Ghost Adventures crew, which is Zach and Aaron and Nick, and we had, what, 5 chat rooms going?
Yeah, maybe it was 5.
There was like hundreds of people here, and it was just mass, whatever, it was something else. I never saw anything like it. And it was a great, great show, and if you want to give a listen to that podcast, they did a really good job. They're really great guys and had call-ins and answered questions and told us some things. It was a really good show. It could have went longer than it did, really.
Yeah.
No chaos.
Well, I don't know. I suppose for the amount of people we had, because we all got separated, and I didn't know what was going on when I got there. And I'm like, where's all my people?
Right.
So we were like going from chat room, because they put the chat room under different titles. There was so many chat rooms going, and tried to find each other, or I was, and I was going from place to place, you know, in caps, going, Mike, Crystal. And I finally ran into Matt, and I'm like, oh, my God, thank God you're here, you know. So I didn't know who these people were. I think he was texting Crystal back and forth, and we ended up for a while in that chat room, and Kirk, he showed up. But there were some rowdy, a little bit of rowdy. We only had one, and he just got a little... The language wasn't very good. He asked just a horrible question, so I banded. But that was fun. So, I mean, it was a really... He had been there the whole time with his little comments anyway. So I was watching him anyway, and I told him, I said, don't... You know, this isn't Ghost Hunters, because he just tried to be stupid. And I said, this is Ghost Adventures, and then he did it again, so he was gone.
Yeah, then there was a few others that got banded.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Banded. Who says that? Banded.
Banded?
I've heard of it when it comes to cows, but not...
Right. Banded. I got mental problems. You got to ignore me.
Yeah, well, just don't pay attention to her. No. Seriously. But what did you think about it, Chris? Or how'd you go do with all that?
I just ran room to room trying to make all the green people blue and...
Yeah.
Trying to...
There's more of that going on. I can't hear anything. Oh, my God.
I have a funny story as producer from last night.
Yeah, I was going on. That's why I wanted to see where you were. I wonder how Mike is holding up. Oh, my God.
Well, about halfway through, they started taking callers, and in the middle of all the callers, somehow we lost Aaron on Skype. He got kicked off or hung up or I knocked him off or something. And there was caller after caller after caller. I probably declined 80 people or so. And apparently Aaron tried to call back about 20 times before I finally accepted him. So I declined the guest from calling in probably 20 times in the middle of the show.
Oh, my God. Well, how would you know? Yeah. I know everybody wanted to call in. Everybody in our, there was probably 20 in our room that were going to call in.
Yeah, but the bad thing was they was all calling me.
Why were they calling you?
Right, that's what I want to know. I don't know. Somebody posted in the chat room. I guess they got, they couldn't get the number. Nobody was posting the number what to call. So they went to the ASPRN website and posted it in the chat room. Here's the number to call. I'm like, oh, my God.
I got, that was your number?
Yeah, I got like 20 calls. So finally I started answering, saying when I seen a foreign area code, I would just answer the phone and say, this is not the radio show.
Oh, my God. No, I didn't know that. I knew somebody at one time. I tried to write down real quick because they gave it out. And then when I looked up, somebody else had put a number on there, so I just assumed it was the right number. I didn't check it.
No, it was mine.
I think the phone number.
I sorry.
Think, I think the phone number was only going into one chat. I don't think it went into the other four chat rooms.
Oh, my. Yeah, that was just, like I said, I never expected to see all those people. I never expected that. But it just totally threw me. I didn't know where to go.
We didn't need any more callers than what we got. I declined far too many people.
Yeah, because she was trying to, you know, one question, you didn't tell them, you know, it's just one question because there's a lot of people and so forth. We had a girl in there from Ireland that was calling. There was some guy from the Philippines.
There
were, the two I remember the most.
There are 20 different countries in there.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was
very
popular
group.
Yeah, they're really nice, too. I listened, they did a really good show. They're funny.
They are awesome. They're awesome in person. They're so down to earth.
Oh, I know. I've seen your pictures at the bar, you guys, after your investigations and stuff.
Yeah.
They were just down there, weren't they, at Mackey's?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It came again. Yeah. I think it's going to air in October.
So we're planning on going to Mackey's in June, Jenny?
I'd like to, depending on how things go around here. Yeah, because they were there and they were at, where were they?
Waverly.
I know they're going to, Waverly, yeah. And I know they're going to be in Mansfield in a couple weeks, and they're doing Eastern State, I think they said.
I would love to do Eastern State, but I am not going to drive 10 hours, pay $100 to investigate for 4 hours.
Yeah, because that's in Philadelphia. That's pretty far to go, too. And Mansfield, I mean, that's just up the street from us, actually. I don't know how much they're charging.
It's $100
a person. Mass investigation.
Oh, well, I don't know how much you're going to charge with them, but if you want to rent it private, we paid $100 a person. It was only 23 of us that went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
That's all of you that were in there, though, right?
Right.
So that's not bad. Because I know people came out with evidence, or not evidence, but data.
Yeah.
And stuff, and EVPs and pictures. And
that picture Greg got was awesome.
I know. That was one of the best pictures ever. I've got it on here somewhere.
I'm excited to go to Waverly on the 1st.
Oh, you're going to Waverly, too?
Yeah, we booked it private.
Oh, did you?
Well, there's only 10 of us going, just our group.
June 1st?
Yeah. My birthday. Great birthday present.
Yeah, okay. Birthday present.
What about the Valeska house? You going to that?
We had it set, and then Sandy, because she had it booked, and something came up with her, and we had to cancel it. I am going to get there, though. I am. Eventually.
And that's in Kansas?
That's in Iowa.
Iowa.
Sally House is in Kansas. Mm-hmm. I want to go there, too.
I don't know. Because, you know, you see, that one seems to be pretty controversial.
Right. That's why I want to go for myself.
Well, that's true. Because you would, because you got new equipment. More new equipment.
Yay.
tell Mike what you've got.
That hint of jealousy I hear.
No, not at all.
What did I buy? I bought the H4N voice recorder from Zoom. I bought the new PX thingy, which is half puck and half ovulus.
Oh.
I bought a leak detector, which you point at stuff and it shows temperature change by, it's a green ball of light on, like when you point it at something, and if the temperature goes colder, it turns blue, and if it goes hotter, it turns red.
Oh, that'd be neat.
I bought... Yeah, temperatures. What else did I buy?
Right.
I bought... Oh, the EFP, EVP field detector. It shows... you put a voice recorder, attach it to it, and there's lights on, and it shows if somebody speaks into it, like the green lights will light all the way up and stuff, so you can have live monitoring.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be awesome. I'll get to use it Saturday. I'm going to my first ever cemetery. What ghost hunter has never been to a cemetery?
Oh, which one are you going to?
In Miami Town with Mike. Yeah, with Mike and Mike.
Going in there. Well, cool.
Yeah, some of my group and Mike from Miami Town is going.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I have never been to a cemetery.
It's different because there's so many outside influences going on.
Right, that's why I've never been to one.
Once you get centered into it, it's freaking awesome. I mean, you do, if you just clear your mind and forget where you're at, you can actually find some good data.
Well, I'm excited that we get to go with our thermal cam. That's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, that would be nice. That'd be very nice.
Yeah, they got a thermal camera. You guys, I saw your pictures. those were good. It does good.
Yeah, it's got video and still pictures on it. It's pretty awesome.
Now, have you ever heard of the scope?
Scope.
It's like a thermal imaging scope. It's just it's like a one lens telescope. It's like almost like a telescope, but you strap it on your head.
No.
It's I mean, I'm assuming it's used for hunting, because you can buy them at Cabela's. But they say they're really good for finding temperature variations and stuff when you're doing investigations. So I thought about buying one, but I've never heard anybody use one. And there's a girl that I work with that she's in a group as well, and she's never heard of it either. I don't want to, like, spend the
$300. How much are they?
Like $300.
Yeah. I said I wasn't buying anything else. Shh. Stop telling me stuff.
They're like $300, and then, but I mean, they don't record or anything, so you'd have to run a Super 8 or something with it, I'm assuming.
Right.
But, you know, at least you would know where you're going to point it, I would suppose. No one I've talked to's ever heard of it or used it in that type of environment.
No, I have to research that. Yeah, that's a little bit of money. That's what I paid for that Zoom H4n voice recorder. I lost my mind temporarily.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it just has to happen. So.
It does work good, though. It's really clear.
You know, the thing is, you want to do a good investigation, you need good stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, have you ever used the ghost box?
I do. I have one.
Does it work?
I like it. We've gotten some pretty good audio from it. But you cannot just sit and ask it general questions and believe the answers, because it does scan the radio. So what I do is we'll ask it to, like, say cuss words, because you know they're not going to be cussing on the radio. We'll ask it to say specific words. Now, this last trip at Mackey's, we did just ask it a couple general questions to see what it would say. We asked who Johanna loved, and it said Robert. So that was pretty awesome.
Okay. I've been looking into those, too. Because I know we need some new stuff for us too, and
Yeah, we've got stuff, but it's like the same stuff in different brands or something.
Mm-hmm.
We need to try something differently.
You got the regular ghost box from Radio Shack?
No, we don't
have anything at all. Actually.
Get it from there. It that's where I got mine, and it works just fine. $25.
Is it just the radio, and then you have to rig it yourself, or is it actually?
Yeah. It's the radio, and you just open it up, and trust me, I'm so technical dumb, it's not even funny. If I can do it, anybody can do it. All you got to do is just unscrew the back and bend one of the little prongs down. There's a video on YouTube that shows you exactly how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And maybe I'll pick one of those up here this weekend.
They're right, they get something to do.
Yeah, like I have nothing else to do, but hey, you know, why not? Why not? I'm going to Cabela's, too, and look at those scopes this weekend as well, so we have some new stuff to play with. You know how antsy we're going to get when we get some new stuff, so.
I bought me a new K2 meter, too.
What meter did you buy last year, Jenny? Was it K2? Or Sandy bought?
I got a K, yeah, we, three, I think we had three K2s. I got that, I replaced that tri-field with the natural tri-field. And then, we all went to Prospect Place with Greg and his wife and Marnie. And we were out in the barn and I stepped on it.
Oh, my God.
I had it laid on the floor, and I would step back and step on it. But it's okay, I beg. Of course. It was dark out there.
Dark and, yeah, freaky. Now, Crystal, have you ever been to Prospect Place?
I haven't. And I'm so close.
Yeah, you need to go. It's pretty amazing out there, actually. On certain nights, you know. It's,
right.
It's hit or miss, but when it's rocking, it's rocking.
Yeah, that I do want to go there. I haven't been there. I haven't done a whole lot of public locations at all. We've just done Mansfield back in, I guess, what was August, Joni? Something like that.
It's August, yeah.
Yeah, I would done Mansfield then. I mean, we've done Bobby Mackey's a lot because we host the Ghost Tours now there, too. So, but Waverly, we're just not doing. We've done the Baxter Morgue down in Louisville and Loveland Castle. That's pretty much our public location that we...
You haven't done the Mountville Pen then?
Nope. I do want to go there, though. I stopped there on the way to Gettysburg a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to take the tour, but it didn't start till 11, and we got there at 9, so I didn't get to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I live, so it's basically in my backyard, so...
Oh, wow. Yeah,
he's not down the street anymore, so it's good for us.
Yep. That took a lot of pictures. This place is huge.
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, it's easy to get lost in, too.
It looks bigger than Mansfield is.
It's 4 blocks long.
I don't know. I never saw it. I don't know if it is or not. It's I know it's huge.
It's 4 blocks long and 3 blocks deep. It's almost the same size as the highest the university is.
Wow.
Campus, the main campus. So it's big. It's huge.
Yeah, I drove around the whole building. Well, my husband did, while I took pictures, and... Yeah, places you. I went all the way back to where the warden used to stay at, or whatever, and all that.
And then there's like several cemeteries where they buried the inmates in. But most of them are unmarked. There's one with a white gate that Jenny keeps talking about, and I have yet to find that. But I know where 3 of the ones that are unmarked are. And they're just you're driving on a road and randomly run into one. It's really odd.
Okay, so what is that across the street from the penitentiary, that big old mound hill?
That's an Indian mound.
Oh, I was like, well, okay, hence the name Moundsville.
Yeah, there's several Indian mounds. There's, I do believe it's Cherokee, and also, but the Blackfoot Indians were here predominantly, and they were extremely violent. And they don't have a very good history with the American Indian culture, I guess. But they were the ones who were predominantly around here, and there's mounds everywhere. I mean,
yeah, a lot of them were just out in the woods and stuff, and you just...
I guess people
even know what they are. Yeah.
If you were driving down Route 2, like coming from Wheeling, there's an old, right across from the high school, there's an old house, an old farmhouse that they're restoring. And in their backyard is an Indian mound in their backyard. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's right on the main road, you know, from Wheeling into Moundsville. Runs right along the river.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
The thing with the pen is the new pen is built on the old pen's farm. And so they're saying now that the new pen, the new door to Reader Jail is haunted as well because, you know, they disturbed a lot of grave sites and stuff when they built it. Because the Moundsville Penitentiary, it was a working penitentiary. They grew their own food. They had their own power. You know, it was self-sufficient. They, there was nothing actually tied into the city for, like, electric or anything like that while it was open. So they like, grew their own food and sold it for money, and it was just, you know. It was very violent, but they were very productive, I guess. So.
I want to go to Alcatraz.
Yeah, they were talking about that last night. It's just so hard to get into there, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they said.
And I don't know why, because I think someone brought up places like that, you can make so much money for the facility,
right.
You know, to restore and to fix it up and stuff. It really would pay. I don't know. I don't know why they would do that.
I thought Zach and Elm was already there once.
I don't think they were. I guess they weren't, though.
I thought I'd seen an episode where he was in there at taunting Al Capone or something.
I thought so, too, but the way they were talking,
yeah,
it sounded like they had been there. I don't know. He was in, Al Capone was in Eastern State at one time.
Oh, okay, it might have been.
And I do know he was in there because he had like this really, he was still Al Capone. He was in there for income tax evasion. And he still had this really, they blame him, he's doing furniture and like antique Louis XIV stuff. And he had a really nice cell. So, I mean, he was still treated as Al Capone in prison. And I do know they were there for that one. So maybe that was the one. Yeah, because I thought they were. I thought they were there too. I think the only ones I know of really are Taps that have been there.
Who?
Taps.
Oh yeah, they were there. I saw that episode.
I didn't see it, but I guess they were there.
Yeah, I saw that episode. They didn't get much. So.
Now somebody told me, several people actually, about a month ago, that came into Bobby Mackey's for ghost tours on different occasions, kept trying to tell me they seen the Taps van outside of Bobby Mackey's, and I don't think that that Taps has ever been there, the Mackey's, but they're saying here recently they've seen a Taps van outside of there, so I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't Bobby tell you?
Well, I keep forgetting to ask, and...
Well, I know, but you'd think he'd, you know, say something.
Yeah, that's true, because they told us when Goethe's interest was coming. I don't know. I think people...
Well, it would be reasonable, you know.
I first thought they was just tripping, but several different people told me that. Not unless they pulled up when they was closed, maybe, and they don't know they was there. I don't know.
I know when they were out of Prospect, they came in, like, the day before. It was really cold. That was so cold that week they were there. And they were around town, like, in Dresden, and they were, like, a subway and stuff like that. And people saw their van all over the place, so it's possible. Because they didn't advertise that they were coming out there because George didn't want a bunch of people showing up and stuff. But they were spotted around Zanesville and Dresden area and stuff, day before, so I don't know.
Were down here, when they were in Moundsville, their van was everywhere. And, you know, of course, down here, people down here really didn't know what they were all about.
Right.
Until it aired. And, they actually came into subway when I was working. So, and at that time I wasn't just like, who are these people, Because that's before they actually blew up on television, so it wasn't like they were stars like they are now. So, yeah, but they ate at the McDonald's and they ate at the subway where I worked, and they were nice for the most part. You could tell they didn't want to be bothered, so, and like I said, people in Moundsville didn't even know who they were. Because down here, penitentiary is just a penitentiary, most of the people that live here don't even go there. So.
Yeah, it's funny. The people come in there from, like, Pennsylvania or Canada or, Kentucky. I mean, people from out of state and the bigger cities in West Virginia, they come out by Bush, Charleston, and Fairmont, places like that.
It's just, it's just a fixture in town. The only time that people from this town actually go to it is during Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
They have the big haunted house. So.
That's a cool haunted house, too.
Yeah, it is. But I know a lot of people that only work at 1 year because it's so freaky inside there. Because you're in there.
Really?
Those workers are in there all night long.
Because they do that for several nights and it is dark. It's pitch black dark in there. We went 1 year, years ago, and it was, you can't see anything in front of you. And you never know where you're going to end up. And they put you in the cell, and the night we were there, it was like a full moon, and the electric kept going off.
Yeah.
And we were in the cell, and the cell closed, and the cell wouldn't open, and, it was just really crazy.
Yep. So, like I said, around here, it's not even a big deal. The thing that Moundsville could have either had WVU, which is the big university, or they could have had the penitentiary, and they chose the penitentiary. So.
Mm-hmm.
I want to investigate the Cashtown Inn, too.
That's in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly 8 miles up the road from Gettysburg.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff up that way.
I still would like to do the town hall in Wheeling. If we could ever get a chance to get in there and get that done.
Well, if they would, understand you can't do it at 2 in the afternoon, really, there's just too much noise, and it's in the middle of town.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like, could you be between, 10 and 4 or something like that, and we're like, no. Probably not.
I would also like to do the Capitol Music Hall.
I know. I thought about that when they reopened it. I thought somebody needs to get in there and check that place out.
I'm sure there's some things over there somewhere. I don't know.
A lot of history.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some big houses up in North Wheeling that are like that too, in East Wheeling. Some of the big mansions.
Sure they used to do a Halloween tour years ago down there, took in 3 or 4 different houses. Did you go through Wheeling, Crystal? Did you see it?
You're asking me what I went through?
you probably was on 70 and got off to go to Moundsville. I'm trying to think how you would have went to Moundsville.
You had a route, too. They couldn't... Which way were you coming? Which way were they coming? Were you coming from PA or were you coming from Ohio?
Ohio.
No, you would have to get off.
I got off on exit 1, Moundsville.
Yeah, that's 4-7. You came out 4-7 because 70...
Oh, okay.
To get off together, you would have to come out through, did you go through the tunnel?
Wheeling tunnels?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then you would have just taken route 2 south, so you would bypass Wheeling altogether. You would have come across the bridge and then came right around the outside of it and came down the south side. So, I would like to do the tunnels, because you know a lot of people died building those tunnels because, the crooked. Did you know they're crooked? They're backwards?
Yeah, I know. They just put some guy up there last week walking through there or something. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. The guy that,
Go ahead.
Yeah.
It just makes you seem like you're in a spaceship when you're going through.
Yeah, the guy that built the tunnels actually committed suicide because his design was completely backwards. So when they finished... If you're driving through there, you know, because you have to go clear across the other lane of traffic to get off the exit. That wasn't supposed to be that way. And when it was all said and done, he was facing financial ruin, so he actually committed suicide on the exit.
Oh, I never knew that.
So, yeah.
Ew, God.
Yeah, so I think that would be pretty cool to, like, maybe... I mean, you could never do it because of the traffic, but that would just be...
Oh, no, no.
That was part of a way to... figure that out.
Oh, and speaking of Wheeling... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Hey, Johnny, don't you got an event coming up?
It just jogged my memory. Yes, there is an event coming up. It is May 22nd, Saturday, May 22nd, at 1 o'clock. I think it's 1 to 8 or 1 to 9. Paranormal Picnic at Bar Camp State Park in Belmont. Tammy of a Master's Gross, she pulled it together, and anybody local knows Tammy has been writing Whisper Tales of the High Valley. It is going to be fabulous. I think it may be coming out this fall. She's been working on that for several years, and she's also going to have some awesome pictures because she's such a great photographer. Anyway, she pulled it together and booked it and everything, and everybody is invited, you know, investigators, enthusiasts, or anybody interested in ghosts or hauntings or cemeteries, because she's got some awesome cemetery pictures. And it's covered dish, but of course we can't drink because it's on state property. But it's, I think it's down by the beach area. It's where it's going to end up being. And it sounds like a really, really good day. Burkin's really nice, anyway.
Yeah, it's very nice. And you could drink it if you've got a plastic cup, just don't get caught.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say that, okay?
Because I camp there every once in a while, so...
There's people camping already. I've had the kids down there twice. We went down in the evening and they got in the water. And I'm like, man, is it cold? They're like, you get used to it. They have a nice little beach down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking real nice. So that's coming up. That would be next Saturday then, huh?
Yeah.
Time's flying by. So anyway, it's on our, all the information is on our Egypt Valley Spirit Talk page on Facebook. So if anybody's interested in coming, it's open to everybody. No charge. So
cool. Just covered dish.
Mm-hmm.
LPI's got events in June down at the Baxter Morgue, Saturday, June 26th, 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. Food and prizes and stuff, free event. If anybody's interested, it's in Louisville, Kentucky. If you're on my friends list on MySpace or Facebook, LPI is on there. You can contact them. They also have the Rocky for a picture show July 17th, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Come in costume.
Oh,
$10.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a blast.
Oh, we used to do that all the time.
Yeah, we did too. They could show that in Wheeling and Moundsville back in the 70s.
We used to go to Pittsburgh and do it.
They used to show it at our movie theater when I was like 12.
You never realize how cool. Who? Me? Her? What?
Oh, in some of yeah. I never talk about the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I know we used to do it in Pittsburgh. You didn't realize how cool that place is or how cool that movie is until you're older. I mean,
mm-hmm.
When you were young, it was like freaky. But now it's like, I don't know. I would do it again.
Oh, the big thing, you know, they showed at midnight, you know, when you're young. And then
yeah.
We were in Columbus one weekend and back in the late 70s, and they had it. They were showing it on the cliffs of a campus. I cannot even remember the name of the place, but they were really into it. There was full costumes everywhere. We were like pretty much the only people that wanted a costume. And they knew all the lines, and they brought all the props into the movie, because when they say certain things during the movie, the audience goes along with it.
Yeah, that's how we used to do.
That's wild.
Anybody listening to the podcast, oh, sorry. I was just going to give out the Baxter Morgue URL. Yeah. It's BaxterMorgue.com and then / Baxter Avenue Morgue Hours. But you can go to BaxterMorgue.com and click on the events.
Okay, cool. So you guys want to do a commercial real quick?
Oh, what time is it? Yeah, probably be okay. Never mind. Just like sticking one in there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Ed.
Tune in every ASPRN's only mid-morning paranormal talk show. AM Paratalk with hosts Mike and Lori will discuss the fun, the interesting, and the fascinating sides of the paranormal with a twist of family life. Tune in for a fun and lively hour with Mike and Lori on Tuesday at 10 a.m. for AM Paratalk, only on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hey everybody, it's Crystal from North Kentucky Paranormal Society and Paranormal Outreach Radio. Have you ever wanted to investigate Bobby Mackey's but never had a chance? We have the chance for you now. For only $55 a person, you can join NKYPS and CRAPS on an investigation from 8 p.m. till 2 a.m. on June 22, 2010. Space is limited to 20 people, so please, if you want your tickets, you better get them while they're here. For further information, you can contact me at christel@nkyps.com. I look forward to hearing from you.
Have you been to Bobby Mackey's and had a paranormal experience? Do you think that your story is good enough to be told in a book? Do you have pictures you might think have spirits in it? If so, contact Crystal from Northern Kentucky Paranormal Society at christel@nkyps.com. And your story just might be published in a book.
Christopher Moon's Haunted Times magazine, voted the best paranormal magazine in the world by the International Paranormal Acknowledgement Awards, now comes to you live every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join Christopher Moon, Dina Everling, and Paulette Huff as each week they welcome guests from all avenues of the paranormal and metaphysical realm, bringing you the best of the best, doing their part to help you think farther than you could ever imagine. Haunted Times Magazine Radio, Wednesday nights from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
And we're back. Okay, Christel, we were talking about the Baxter Morgue. Do you know anything about the people were asking in the chat room? Do you know anything about the history of it or why it's so dark?
I couldn't personally find any history on it, and I know Henry and Carolyn explained to me that a lot of the stuff was lost. I can't remember if it was a flood in there or a fire or something or another. Something that happened in there. Leah can post it in the chat room. I don't really remember what it was, but most of the paperwork and stuff, they do have a couple of things that they got from somebody in Frankfurt or something hanging in the one of the rooms down here. But I couldn't personally find anything. They said it was hard to dig up, so. But it's an awesome place. We had some pretty cool experiences down there and some EVPs from there. I definitely want to go back. We had that was our first night of filming with our professional filming crew we had going around with us, so we didn't get a whole lot of investigating done because big cameras following us around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. I didn't realize that's where it was.
Yeah, okay. And that still to this day isn't finished editing because one of the guys, something happened with him, so it left one guy doing it, so he's still working on that. But, yeah, we had them following us around, so it was pretty hard to investigate. So I definitely want to get back down there.
Mm-hmm. So did you find it hard to do your investigation with all that chaos going on behind you?
I did, and I was really aggravated. I wouldn't even go. They was interviewing us founders before the show, and I wouldn't even get on camera. I was just so annoyed. I mean, we actually didn't start investigating probably till 11 p.m., and we got there at like 7. So it was really, it was aggravating. And then the Baxter Morgue is a haunted attraction during the season, and there's props up everywhere. And when you're first walking around and you don't know they're there, they startle you, and I got aggravated with that.
Yeah, it's always nice to walk in a place like that, and you don't know it's a haunted attraction, and you see a dummy with blood running out of its ear or something, and, you know.
It was all right when I could see them from a distance, but there's, like, some when you walk around a corner, there's a dummy human sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
that happened to me at Jailer's Inn, too, when they have this down a long hallway and to the cells. They actually, a couple cells they did keep as cells. There's one that has bunk beds in it with an old tin plate and cup in them from back in the days when people was in there as inmates. And they didn't bother to tell us they have a dummy man sitting up on the top bunk. So they're like, oh, well, come on, we'll show you down here in the jail cells. And he's like just going down and open the door. Yeah, that scared me.
Excuse me, there's somebody in there.
Thank God an inmate left.
You better check into that. He probably should have not been here.
Right.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Hey, do you want to tell them about that group of young people that you're going to have on your show? I think you are, aren't you? Hopefully.
Yes, I am, June 23rd. Oh, they are adorable.
yeah, I'll check that out.
They just added me on Facebook. I posted it for people to add them. They're called Trip. It's the Rob's Paranormal Investigations or something like that. But the founder founded this group in 2005, and he is only, right now, the age of 14.
Mm-hmm.
And he speaks so proper, I mean, for a 14-year-old. And his emails are better than I would talk in an email. And I was like, when I was reading it, I was like, okay. Then he gets to the bottom. He says, yeah, we sound not like the average paranormal group, but the catch is, I'm only 14. I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
But they're awesome. He's an awesome little dude. I can't wait to have him on. It's going to be exciting. And I was telling him, I said, yeah, you'd be a good guest because a lot of us believe that kids shouldn't be investigating. But then we also at the same time believe it depends on the maturity level. And he goes on to explain to me how he's mature and professional. He has his own radio show.
They have to. Yeah, that's what you said. He has a radio show and everything already. I'm going, oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah.
His grandma is the case manager, and his aunt does something. They do have adults escort them to their investigation.
They'll be like, they come to your house, but we don't have a driver's license. You know?
Yeah. You know, I was look at one of their videos on their website where they're explaining the EMF meter. It was the cell sensor. And he says, he explains he's the founder and tells his name. And he says, I'm going to turn it over to my tech manager and let him explain to you how the EMF meter works. So I'm thinking it's going to be his uncle or somebody. And it's another little kid.
Oh, my God.
And he starts explaining all proper about the EMF meter and how it works. And don't let it fool you if it gets by a fan or electrical outlets. And I was just tripping off.
Probably better than a lot of adults would.
Right. And they're showing, in the video, they're showing actual footage, like, where they're showing it, holding it next to a fan and it's going off, and then holding it next to the outlet and it's going off, and I was like, wow.
Huh. Yeah, I came with Karen. That's a great thing. And, you know, they have to have supervision just because they are, I know they're mature and they're smart, but still they're
right,
only 14.
Right.
And if you do it in the right circumstances, then there's no problem. You know, if the adults know what they're doing and know, you know, at least supervise, they'll be fine. I think so too. I think they ought to all, if they have that opportunity, I think it's good for them to know that stuff.
Yeah, because Emily and Evan were how old when they started with us?
15.
My son and Jody's daughter is in our group, and my son he's pretty proficient in what he does.
I think it's the age or something. I think because they're both mature, but it's the age because they still are kids and they don't.
They're not jaded.
Yeah, and they're practical, yet they will accept things easier that could happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't know. They're more open to it.
Right.
Because I know we took Emily out to Prospect. Took the kids, all of us out to Prospect the first time, and I got her. I said dowsing rods off of Doc Wilkie. And she sat down in the bedroom, and they just started working them. They just started working. And she's like, wow, look at that, you know. And she had gotten into a conversation with a little boy. Said he was blonde. I think she said he was 10. But he had come down from the ballroom. Blonde hair and blue eyes, she said. And she sat there probably for 20 minutes and just, you know, chatted away. So maybe that'll draw kids out, maybe. That'd be good. If they talk to another kid,
you would think. You know, and Evan's at my son, he does the dowsing rods and takes pictures and does EVP work and stuff, and he seems to get more stuff than a lot of us do.
He's really good with EVP.
Yeah, they got their little website laid out. This talking about the purpose of TRIP is to help people with their paranormal problems. There is never a fee for an investigation.
I mean, that's something. I got to give, you know, props to the parents and the grandmother, everybody else is helping them.
Right.
I really do. That's what things are changing. You know, getting to the thing of the veil and all that business if you want to, or 2012 and all that stuff. But things are definitely changing. And I just truly believe that it's becoming more obvious every day.
Yeah.
That things are opening up and they're there if you want to actually take the time to try to look forward God, if you just would have an open mind, it'd come right to you practically.
I did not know until, I didn't know until just now. That's Scott in the chat room. That's him.
Oh, is that him? Hey, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
That's very cool.
Until he does that. Yeah.
Very cool, Scott. We can't wait to hear this, and we can't wait to hear you guys on the show. Mm-hmm. And the videos are great.
Yeah, they are. They're awesome. I love it.
That'll be a very interesting show.
It will.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting show. But there's a lot of people in that generation. I don't want to say kids because, you know, but they are kids, but still. There's a lot in that generation that are really interested in, have talent at it. And that's amazing to me that's the next generation that's coming on. And if they're age 14 and they're that proficient and that, mm-hmm. Knowledgeable about what's going on, it's just gonna be amazing to watch what happens in the coming years.
Right, exactly.
It gives you hope.
Mm-hmm. It does. I wish at 14 I had knowledge like that. To explain the way things that happened, you know, because the house we grew up in was really active. If you look back on it now, it was very active, and we just blew it off. It was like, whatever.
Generally, I put my head over the blanket.
Yeah,
and like that, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, you couldn't shut the door, but the door wouldn't shut. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I had my first experience at age 10. I seen my grandpa. That wasn't fun.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. Was it really your grandpa though, or?
I don't.
Did you ever figure that out? Because
I didn't, but I don't think it was. And Joni, you know how I am about believing in demons. I don't believe they're there, but I have to believe that was something other than my grandpa posing as him, because my grandfather would have never stood there with a knife on me.
Why?
Oh, yeah, to scare a kid.
Right.
Well, you know, and we talked to Tim Shaw about that. Of course, he's a spiritualist, and he, they don't believe, spiritualists don't believe in demons, and they don't believe in angels, actually. They just believe in, you know, basically good and bad entities.
Right.
So that's kind of how I lean, too. I don't know if there's demons. I know there's really nasty spirits.
Right.
But then you talk to other people, you know, and like Bishop Long, and there's like, he has all these identifying ways that you know it's a demon, you know, odors and things like that. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know for sure. That
I don't say nothing, you know, I can't say they don't exist, but I just know we've never written anything like that bad.
I don't think that I could say there's wholeheartedly that I believe in demons, but, you know, I do believe there's good and evil, because there has to be
right.
a balance.
Exactly.
I mean, there has to be some equalizer somewhere that, you know, counters the balance between good and evil, and I think that, you know, there has to be some. There's evil people that walk the earth now, you know, that are alive, so that energy has to go somewhere, so it's going to, you know, if in death, I'm sure it's, they remain evil, you know, they're I know several people that are evil that are walking this earth, and, you know, so you can't destroy energy, so the energy has to be somewhere, has to be something. So
yeah, he said that if you have a bad energy, and that's a lot of what's going on right now, the bad entities, that's what they feed off of, so they will come to you, and then, of course, they'll try to get you, and somehow try to get you as down and bad and awful as you feel, because that's what they're feeding off of, you know, and vice versa for, you know, good energy.
Right.
And that's where the positivity thing comes into it, you know, because then you're going to have more positive energy following you around than the bad energy, because they probably both follow you around, just waiting.
At the time I seen my grandpa, I had already believed in ghosts. My aunt, she... I don't know. There was a spirit that always followed her around. And I used to play with Ouija boards and have seances with them and everything. And so I don't know if that contributed to what I seen. I don't know.
I don't know. Because, you know, they're talking about Ouija boards and things like that, you have to have the intent.
Right.
Now, does a kid that age have the intent to actually bring anything over?
Well, I mean,
you know, spiritualists believe it all revolves around your intent, and intent's not as easy as you think it is, you know.
Well, I mean, you could go through life without having any intent consciously, but subconsciously you don't know. I mean, your subconscious mind is just as powerful as your conscious mind. So,
but I'm saying to actually bring something through.
It just depends, I guess. I mean,
would a kid be able to do that? That's what I don't know. I had a Ouija board too, Crystal. I remember we were in like, I don't know, sixth or seventh grade, and all my friends, we all got a Ouija board for Christmas. And we take it to school for like, you know, playground time and stuff. And didn't think anything about it. And then after I had graduated and I was working at a nursing home, and I was still living at home, and I had a friend, Chris, and she lived in Texas. But you remember Chris, don't you, Mike?
Yeah.
Chris and, yeah. And her mom was a good friend of my mom. So they came over and stayed with us for like a month at a time. You know, when they could. And Chris always knew things. Chris had seen things always, and she had had experiences all through her life. And she was home, staying in my house, and I went home, I worked afternoons, and she said, let's get that Ouija board out. And we were sitting in the living room just goofing off, and we put the planchette on there, and Chris says, what's Ouija mean? And it kept going to, yes. Every time, no, what's Ouija mean? Yes. What's Ouija mean? Yes. And we're like, what the heck's going on? Yeah, we're laughing. I said, I know, it's like a big dictionary upstairs. So I went up there and bought a dictionary downstairs and looked up Ouija. Guess what it is? It's French and German for yes.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, well, we just put that away now. Chris, it's you. But
well,
seriously,
you know,
yeah, we did. We put it away. I'm like, wow. We didn't know that, okay? Who would know that?
I wouldn't have. But I know.
We didn't.
I had my experiences were young as well, because I had a playmate, an invisible playmate that
Charlie Evans,
to me, yeah, from Bel Air for some reason, mm-hmm. I don't know why. And mm-hmm. I mean, I saw him. As I grew older, he just kind of went away. And then I was the night before I was getting ready to take my barber board. I had a little boxer puppy, and I was in bed, and my friend Jill, who was going to do the boards with me, she was in the next room. My old spare bedroom in our house. And she come in the door. Well, the dog started barking at the end of the bed, and I was like, I sat up and I saw Charlie. And then I was like, it didn't scare me. It was like a calming feeling. I'm just like, you know, whatever. And Jill came in the room. She goes, why did you wake me up so early? And I'm like, I didn't wake you up. And I was like, I'm sorry if the dog was barking. She goes, no, you came in the room and woke me up. I'm like, look, where am I at? I'm in bed still. Why would I wake you up? And I'm like, we were looking through old pictures. I think you were at the house, weren't you, Jenny? When we were looking through old pictures, and I pulled a picture out, and it was my grandfather.
When you took board?
Yeah. I wasn't there when you took board. Huh? I thought, like, the Sunday dinner or something, we were, like, going through old pictures. It was after
the board. Oh, I know. There's boxes of pictures right now.
Yeah, we were going through boxes of pictures, and I found a picture of Charlie Evans, and it was my grandfather, Marmee, that I had never met.
Yeah, he died when I was six. So yeah. It was way before Mike came along. He was such a nice guy. We've got pictures from Mom's faces and things, and I remember one time I was in bed and waiting for Jill, because I always stayed up all night, slept all day, back bed, and my friend Jill was coming over, and I was still in bed. I'm like, oh, my God, she could, back then, you left your doors open.
Yeah.
We didn't even catch up. Everybody left their doors open, because nobody bothered you. I'm like, what is she doing here at 9 o'clock? And I heard thump, 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 thump up the steps, you know, right outside my bedroom door. I'm getting ready, and I'm like, why are you here so early? There was no answer. So I stayed there, and then about half an hour, 45 minutes later, I heard Jill come in and yell downstairs. So I don't, you know, that's the kind of thing that went on.
Oh, yeah, you could, in the bedroom door would never stay shut.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you did, it would pop open every time, no matter what you did. And the closet door would never stay shut. It was always open. That's where your Ouija board was, by the way.
It's up here now, but I don't have the planchette anymore. I mean, I think it's buried in the back of the closet.
It's still there.
I think I have it up here.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. I don't know.
And then the planchette's there, but it doesn't have the little circle in the middle.
I know.
But, yeah. No, you know what? You do have it, because when Dad died, we took it out.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm. We were at your house the night of his funeral, and we were talking, and somebody said he's with us, and it was supposedly Grandpa Snyder, but
that was all a big blur. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that was.
Well, anyway, oh my God, you guys, it's 10 o'clock. Crystal, do you wanna? We have a show coming up next, by the way, at 10 o'clock. Crystal, is there anything you wanna give out or?
Shamelessly
promote or anything like that?
Not really. You can listen to our show on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. here on ASPRN. It's Paranormal Outreach Radio. Or you can visit our website at www.nkyps.com.
Okie dokies. And like I said, Paranormal Picnic next Saturday, May 22nd, 1 o'clock, Barcamp State Park down by the lake. Bring your own.
Yeah, your own bottle. Bring your own bottle.
Bring your own bottle, but don't show it to anybody, okay?
Bring out a red plastic cup.
Yes, bring lots of red plastic cups. So, anyway, well, that was good for getting back on the wagon here and trying to get the show going again. Thanks, everybody, for your patience while we try to get everything under control. They are family. You know, those situations. Podcast should be up tomorrow sometime. So if you want to re-listen or spread the word, and everything will be posted on Facebook and so forth. So thank you, Crystal, for coming on and helping out.
You're
really
very welcome.
It.
Not great a problem.
Thank you for being patient, both of you.
Yeah. Yeah, Crystal and Mike are like my backbone or something.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Gotta be
like
there
this,
for
so.
Each other.
Yeah, we gotta be there for each other. Because ASPRN, we do like to say that we are a family, and that's what we try to do. So
absolutely.
That's the way it works.
Absolutely.
Okay, everybody, join us next week, same time, 9 o'clock, Thursday night. Don't know who the guest will be yet, but I'm going to try and get somebody. So. Thanks for listening, and wish you all great evening.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Talk. Visit your hosts, Joni and Mike, at www.EgyptValleyParanormalInvestigations.com And be sure to come back every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
The All Souls Paranormal Radio Network brings you some of the hottest paranormal radio on the net. Check out www.asprn.com to listen to archives, read about upcoming events, check the schedule, or to listen live every night for great paranormal radio. ASPRN offers you some great radio starting Sunday with Dead Speak Radio and The Man Who Talks to Angels. On Monday, Para Investigators Radio and The Chat People Radio. Tuesday, Maps Radio and Miami Town Ghost Talk Radio. Wednesday, Haunted Times Magazine Radio, Embrace the Dark, Paranormal Outreach Radio, and Residual Hauntings Live. On Thursdays, Ohio Crypto Radio, EVP Spirit Talk Radio, and Paranormal Encounters Radio. And on Fridays, Behind the Veil, and Saturdays, Paratrinity Radio. So be sure to tune in to www.asprn.com and click Listen Live.